Well, today is the last day for the Royal Heart series. How many of you are glad? It's been a long journey. We're going to pass I Survived the Royal Heart series badges out after service is over. It's been 8 weeks, but we're finishing today. Is anybody glad we're finishing? We're finishing. It's okay. It's not a trick question. We don't have the camera on you or anything. If you're glad, say, I'm glad. Okay. All right. I hear you. So let me just give you the premise of the series. Let me tell you where we've been. And I'm going to give you 5 reasons today for us to thank God, for us to give thanks to Him. And then that's what we're going to do together. Okay? So the series comes from Proverbs 4:23 that just says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So your heart is critical because it acts as a spring, and it's the source of your life, and everything that comes from that spring flows downstream into your life. So whatever's in your heart eventually flows out. We've been looking at King David's life. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. And so we've been asking the question, if David was a man after God's own heart, what are the things that were in his heart that made him that way? And what kind of heart might God be trying to develop in all of us? Because if really, wouldn't it be great if we were all people after God's own heart? And so what are those elements? And here's what we said. A person with a royal heart lives a life of obedience to God, overcomes discouragement, finds renewal in apathy, submits to authority, expresses honor, lives on mission, practices gratitude, worship, and humility. Now, what I want to do today is I want to circle back to one of the practices I gave you last week that we said, this practice will help you maintain a royal heart. How did David maintain a royal heart over his entire life? We practiced 3 things we just mentioned, humility, worship, and gratitude. And I want to circle back to gratitude and really do a deeper dive in that today, because there was this undercurrent in David's life that you can see that spans his entire life. And it is gratitude. Gratitude just permeated his life. Now, as I said, the service is going to be a little bit different because today's not so much about a message as it is about engaging. It's not so much about hearing as it is about giving thanks to God yourself. So this service is not really about a teaching. I'm just going to explain to you 5 things we see in Scripture to give thanks for, and then we're actually going to do it. I'm going to invite you to stand with me in a few minutes, and we're just going to walk through those and give thanks to God, and then we're going to sing some songs of thanksgiving. You might notice we shorten worship at the beginning to give us some time at the end. So my invitation to you today is this. Fill your heart with gratitude. And fill this place with gratitude. Because, as we'll look at number one, God is good. So number one, thank God for His goodness. Why do we thank God for His goodness? Other than Jesus, King David is the most written about character in the entire Bible. We have more entire books. His life spans entire books. And Psalms is filled with songs of gratitude that David wrote. Now, when you think about all the things that David went through, his gratitude seems even more remarkable. And let me just rehearse those if you've missed the series. David experienced incredible mistreatment, betrayal, long years of waiting, multiple assassination attempts, but he thrived in adversity because his heart was entrenched in gratitude. It was anchored in gratitude. And the reason that his heart was anchored in gratitude, David had this relentless belief that God is good. He had this relentless belief in God's goodness. So he refused to interpret God's goodness through his circumstances, but rather he committed himself to the fact that God was good, regardless of how his circumstances look. Now, let's just time out and be honest for a minute. It's really, really hard to do that. Would you agree with that? It's easy to thank God for His goodness when life is good. When life is not good, when life is hard, when you are suffering, when you are in pain, it's very hard to thank God for his goodness. It's very hard to be grateful, and you might even struggle to believe that God's good at all. But it takes faith in those moments. You're not giving goodness based on what you're experiencing. You're giving goodness based on what you believe. Not what you feel, not what you see, not what's happening around your life. So it's really difficult to do that. It takes intentionality. It takes discipline. You really have to lean in. Now, David went through some things that most of us will never go through in our life. Thank God. Despite all that, he was able to write in Psalm 103, 1 through 5, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies you with desire, with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." So my invitation to you this morning is going to be, let's thank God for his goodness, because from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible declares that God is good. Now here's the second one. Let's thank God for his kingdom. There's a backstory to this series that we've kind of touched on a little bit, but it's this. When you and I come to faith in Jesus, we inherit a new identity. And that new identity is not the labels, it's not the structure, it's not the definition that the world gives us. We are redefined. We are recreated. We become new creations. We become sons and daughters of God. We are set in a new family and new relationships. And we are part of a new kingdom. And the king of that kingdom is God the Father, right? He's the king of that kingdom. And we enter a kingdom, and it's not like the kingdom of the world. It's not like nations. It's not like governments. We see through history that nations rise and fall, civilizations rise and fall, but governments oppress, governments enslave, governments burden people sometimes, but we're part of an entirely different kingdom. So Hebrews chapter 12, 28 says this, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." Here's the thing about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God cannot, will not ever fail. It'll never need a bailout. It'll never need assistance. It'll never have a national debt. It'll never end. It'll reign forever and ever and ever, and it'll never shut down because of conflict. We're part of a different kingdom. There will be no loss. There will be no grief. There will be no sadness. There'll be no tears. The Bible says that Jesus will be the light of that city, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. So the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, 28, thank God for that kingdom. We're citizens of a different kingdom. So thank God for his kingdom. Number three, thank God for salvation. Hebrews chapter 1, 3 through 15 is such an interesting passage. If you are familiar with the Bible, you know that the New Testament's written in Greek, not originally in English. And so our commas and periods and colons and all this stuff that we see in English don't exist in Greek. So if you go back to the Greek language and you read Ephesians chapter 1, you find something very interesting. Verse 3 through 15 is one sentence. It's one long 12-verse sentence. And that sentence is a run-on sentence of Paul the Apostle bursting forth with gratitude and an explanation and definition of what salvation is. But I just want to read the first part and show you how it starts. Verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." What does it mean that you and I, as believers, as sons and daughters of God, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It means that we've been redeemed. And if you read the other verses, you'll see this. We've been united with Christ. We've been chosen. We're children of God. We've received grace. We've received kindness. We've received wisdom and understanding. We receive our freedom has been paid for. Our sins have been forgiven. We never have to carry guilt anymore. And if you continue to read, you'll see that through those spiritual blessings, Jesus has revealed through the New Testament church that he's bringing all things in heaven and earth underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you and I have been given a heavenly inheritance that's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm saying. When Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the dead for your salvation, he gave you every spiritual blessing. There are no more spiritual blessings a person can have. You got them all. Thank God for salvation. Number four, thank God for his mission. There's a scripture that I have heard misquoted all my life. And I have misquoted it a couple of times. And I went back this week and read it, and I went, wait a minute, I don't think I've ever actually understood what this verse means. And so I want to read it to you, and it'll probably be familiar to some of you, and then I want to explain to you what it means so we can understand how to give thanks, and then I want to read it again, okay? Here it is, 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, here we go, who always leads us as captives in Christ, triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Here's how I've heard that verse quoted and how I on occasion have quoted it. This is encouragement when you're going through hard times, that you're going to get through it, God's on our side, you're going to have victory no matter what, and God's always going to lead you to triumph. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying that's not what that verse says. And it's very important that you take scripture in context, because if you don't take it in context, you're likely to build your life on a coincidence and not truth. So let's look at what it says. This picture would be very foreign to us, but it would have been very familiar to the people who first read it and heard it. This is the picture of a Roman victory procession. It's like a victory parade after a great battle. When the Roman soldiers would be dispatched off to war, they would defeat their enemy, they would win the battle, they would come back home, they would take prisoners of war, captives, and have them in chains, and they would march down the city streets in this victory parade, and they would have their captives in front of them in chains, and the proof that they won the battle was that, look, we've got these prisoners. We've got these people who fought for the other side, and we've taken them captive. They're our hostages. Now, we have them, and we're going to march them down the city street, and you have these, you know, prisoners of war being marched down the city street, and everybody goes, oh, we won. See, there's the proof. Also, they would burn incense, so that you could not only see the victory, you could smell the victory. There'd be a familiar smell that surrounded that parade. And so what they're saying is these prisoners used to serve the purpose of the nation that they were fighting for, but now they serve the purposes of Rome because we've captured them. Now watch. What does this verse mean to us? You and I were on the wrong side. We were fighting the wrong battle. We were fighting the wrong cause. We were out doing our own thing, our own way, and our own time, serving our own purposes or somebody else's. We were enemies of God. But God went into the enemy's camp, and he came and got us, and we've been captured by his grace. And we have become prisoners of hope. Now watch. And the proof that Jesus is winning is you're saved. The proof that Jesus has victory is we're following him. Our lives have been changed. We've turned from darkness to light, from death to life. We've been born again. And the proof that Jesus is real is that people like this have gathered all over the earth this morning to worship him and to give him thanks. Your life is proof. And so Jesus has this victory parade that he marches us down through all the principalities and powers and the forces of darkness. And he says, see, see, now watch. But we no longer serve our own purposes. Now watch. God uses us to spread the aroma of good news. So that team that you saw this morning in Albania partnering with a church who can reach the largest university in a 99% non-Christian nation, that's the aroma of Christ. That's part of the victory parade. When you last week gave us names of people that you're praying for that you can invite to the Christmas service so we can preach a salvation message, that's part of the purpose of God. Now let's read it again and see if it sounds different. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Whether they accept or not is not under our control. Either way, we're the aroma. We are to share. Thank God for his mission. Thank God for the people that he sent to you to be Christ's aroma to you. And thank God for the people he's sending me and you to. Number five, last one, give thanks to God in all circumstances. Can I tell you one of my favorite things about the Bible is its honesty? I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that there's weird things in there and confusing things in there and complicated things in there. And there are people that are like supposed to be heroes of faith, but you go, I don't know. I'm not sure I trust them. I'm not sure about that one sometimes. You know, some things are a little sketchy. God never backs away from revealing the fullness of humanity, nor the power of his grace working in humanity. And so this verse says, you don't have to give thanks in good circumstances. You don't have to pretend that your circumstances are good when they're not. And you don't have to pretend that you're good if you're not good, that you're okay if you're not okay. This verse actually gives us permission to be honest. And maybe through this service, you've been thinking, oh, not today. You know, why did I log on today? Maybe you were zooming by YouTube. Why did I log on today? Not a service about gratitude. Do you know the kind of morning I had? The car broke down. You know, I had this problem at my job. There's this conflict. There's been fighting in my house. I've got this health problem. Not today. Do you know what kind of season we've been in? Not today. Not today. Not gratitude today. You have no idea what I've been through. And you know what? You are so right. I have no idea what you've been through. And the truth is, most people might not know. And the truth is, maybe only you and God know. But I want to read this verse to you today. It's a verse of encouragement. Okay, listen to it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you say, that sounds like a job when things aren't going well. How's that encouragement? Here's how it's encouragement. It's you have the freedom to be honest about your circumstances and in all circumstances, whether your circumstances are good, whether they're bad, whether they're neutral, whether you have some of all three. The invitation is to give thanks to God. Now, why would God invite you to give thanks to him when you're hurting. Watch. Because it is one of the best ways for you to access his goodness. So when you just say, you know what? I can't change this. I can't fix this. I don't know if this is going to work out right. But you know what? God, I thank you. Give you thanks anyway. You don't have to give thanks for bad things. That would be neurotic. But I give God thanks in all things. So let's do that this morning. Would you stand with me today? And what I want us to do is take a few minutes, and we're actually going to give thanks to God for those five things. And then our worship team's going to come, and we're going to sing about 10 minutes of songs of gratitude. And we're just going to, I just want to invite you to fill your heart with gratitude this morning and to fill this place with gratitude today. And so maybe this is a brand new thing for you. Maybe this is something that you've never done before, and maybe you're not even comfortable with it, and that's okay. Even if you don't say it out loud, would you in your heart or mind, as we pray together, would you just pray and give God thanks for these five things as we walk through it? Maybe this is new for you, and so we've kind of put some prompts on the screen that we'll talk about. Maybe you are comfortable. And man, if you are, would you vocalize with your own voice? This, if you're online, this is something you can do online. You might want to put some thanks in the chat or just stand in your living room today and just say out loud, God, I thank you for this. So you ready? Five things. Here's the first one. Thank God for his goodness. Would you just do that with me this morning? Lord, I thank you today that you are good. There's no evil in you. There's no malice in you. There's no deceit in you. Lord, today we thank you that you are good. Everything about you is good. The Bible declares from Genesis to Revelation that you are good. And James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God above. So if it's good and it's in your life, it came from God. So would you just start calling out things that are good, that are in your life, your health, your family, your children, your spouse, your parents, your job, provision. Just begin to call out and say, God, I thank you for this because it's good. It's good. Lord, I thank you for the house you've given me. I thank you for the place you've given me to live. I thank you for the provision. Come on and just thank him today. God, I thank you because if it's good, it came from you. And Lord, I'm grateful today for it. I'm grateful for the opportunity to use the gifts you've given me and to use the abilities that you've built in me. God, I thank you for it today. I thank you for your goodness. Now let's thank him for his kingdom. God, today we thank you for your kingdom. I thank you that your kingdom will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And as long as I could say forever, your kingdom will last longer than that. I thank you that your kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. It is not a kingdom that can be corrupted. It is not a kingdom that can be divided. Lord, your kingdom is sure. It'll never be shaken. It'll never fall. It'll never fail. God, I thank you that your kingdom is eternal and it will last forever. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And your kingdom reigns throughout all times. And one day we will receive the fullness of your kingdom. And today we thank you for that. We are on a collision course with the fullness of the kingdom of God. And we thank you for that today. Now, would you thank God for the salvation? If you're a believer today, would you thank God for salvation? God, I thank you for every spiritual blessing that you've given me in Jesus Christ today. I thank you that you've forgiven me. I thank you that you've removed guilt from my life. I thank you that you washed away every evil and deceitful and dark and shameful thing that I've ever done. You've washed it out of my life and you've forgiven me. You've set me in right relationship with the Father. You have put me at peace with God. And I thank you today that I've been forgiven and washed and redeemed and cleaned, and I've been given a new identity and a new eternity and a new place. God, I thank you that I've gathered today with sons and daughters of God. I thank you for grace and wisdom and understanding and a spiritual inheritance. I thank you for the mystery of the New Testament church, that you are revealing your kingdom through the New Testament church. God, I thank you that we've gathered today as a family, online and in person. We've gathered together today with the saints of God. God, I thank you for that family that you've put me in. I thank you for salvation. Now would you thank God for his mission? And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to remember the people who brought you to faith. I want you to remember the people who witnessed to you and shared with you and prayed with you and talked to you and encouraged you, and they were the aroma of Christ to you, and God sent them to your life. Nobody comes to the kingdom alone. God sent somebody. Lord, today we thank you for the people you've sent. I thank you for my youth pastor who invested in me. I thank you for my mom, Lord, who planted seeds of faith in my life. I thank you for my grandparents who faithfully were a part of the church. I thank you for my great-grandfather who was a pastor for many, many years and invested. Lord, I thank you for my coach in high school, my basketball coach that shared with me. I thank you for friends who invited me to church. God, I thank you today that they were part of your aroma to me. God, that they reached me, that they prayed for me and shared with me, and it created inside of me a grace. Lord, I became one of the captives of Christ. And now would you begin to pray and thank God that he has sent you on a mission into this community and the world. And would you begin to thank him for that mission and begin to thank him for the people he's sending you to you might not even have met yet. Lord, I thank you that you've sent me. I thank you that you have divine appointments in front of my life. I thank you that you are opening doors and opening minds and opening hearts, and you are transforming me that I might be the aroma of Christ. Even when I'm unaware of it, most likely when I'm unaware of it, you are using me to be a light in a dark world. Now here's the last one. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. Whether your circumstances are good or they're bad or they're neutral, thank God because he is good. Would you do that with me this morning? Lord, I thank you today because you are good. It might hurt. It might be hard to say. You might not feel like it, but would you go ahead and do it by faith? Today, Lord, I thank you because you are good. As our worship team is coming, they're about to lead us in songs of thanksgiving. Come on and just let your voice be heard this morning and say, Lord, I thank you today that you are good. I thank you today that you are good.